This is LOA Today, the Law of Attraction Show.
Truth, because I'm happy.
Clap along if you know what happiness is to you.
Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen, Joel Elston is back. It's Thursday, May 12, 2016. And Joel, I'm glad to hear you're in full voice today.
Yes, I really was upset that I couldn't join the show last week. It was an incredible show. But when the voice doesn't talk, it's a little hard to do radio.
Like I said last week, I couldn't imagine you having no voice. You have such a big, powerful voice. It just seemed impossible.
Yeah, it was a whisper. And really, to some people, I'm sure it was a blessing as well.
I don't think so. Maybe a few speakers here or there, but you know.
Occasionally, yes.
Well, we thought we'd do an update this week because you told a really fabulous story back in January, I think it was, about a young man who we call Bob, not his real name, but that's all right. We want to keep his identity confidential. And the amazing story he has and the amazing experience he has had since you exposed him to the law of attraction. So why don't you bring us up to date? First of all, remind everybody very briefly what the story was, and then bring us up to date. What's going on?
Okay, well, I just as a refresher, a few weeks before Christmas of 2015, I'd gotten a call from a social worker that had a young man. He was 12 years old, and he was not getting any results from the counseling he was undergoing, and my services generally aren't covered under Medicaid, so it would be something that I would just sort of do voluntarily, and of course, I agreed to do that. And within the first few minutes of meeting Bob, I asked him, well, tell me about yourself. And he began to list all of his diagnosis. You know, I'm obsessive compulsive. I'm oppositional defiant. I have ADHD. I'm depressed.
So he'd been paying a lot of attention anyway.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, I was baffled by when I asked him to tell me about himself, he chose to start with that. With his diagnosis, as he had become his diagnosis.
Mm.
And then he later told me that his mother died in prison. She was in jail for drug use, and that's why he was put into foster care when he was 8.
Wow.
So he really was sort of upset with me near the end of our session where he said, well, you're not a really good therapist. You didn't ask me how I felt when my mom died. And I said, well, Bob, I can't imagine that was a good feeling, and I don't need to really ask that. And he says, but everybody else has always asked me that. I
said, well, therefore, it must be the right thing to ask, right?
Exactly. Well, that's sort of the mentality of where it went. And after a session or two, I explained to Bob, and he really bought into this concept. I said, you've been told all of these things about yourself, and he really – really, he read The Secret. He started asking a lot of questions. He actually started watching a lot of Abraham Hicks tapes. Now, this is a 12-year-old boy at the time.
Mm-hmm.
He just turned 13 recently. He really started going all in, and he went home and instantly changed his life. He didn't change it like in a week or two. He instantly changed his life by telling his foster mother that he would no longer be behaving oppositionally.
That is amazing to me.
Yeah, and he said that he realized that he had become what everybody told him he was. He went to his psychiatrist and asked why he was on Prozac, and the doctor said, well, because you're depressed. And he says, well, I think I'm depressed because my mom died in prison, and I've never really dealt with that. And he goes, well, yeah. And the doctor says, well, yeah, that's probably why. And he goes, so what does Prozac do to help my mom not die in prison? The doctor was baffled, and he said, and I'm on ADHD medication, and I don't ever remember anyone giving me a test or asking me questions why I should be on that. And the doctor once again is baffled. Now, the doctor at this point is hating me with a passion because, you know, all of a sudden Bob's questioning everything. So he
not only questioning him, but questioning intelligently.
Yes.
Which is a real sin.
Right. Well, and the doctor basically told him, well, I just picked up what medication you were on before. And so Bob asked him, so you didn't do any of your own work. You just copied what somebody else did. And so needless to say, Bob ended up with a different psychiatrist who, you know, got to sort of understood Bob a little bit. Or actually, it was a referral from me to a friend of mine. So as time went on, Bob started implementing the law of attraction in his life. And he started really changing the way he dealt with everybody, his school teachers, the counselors, the social workers. In fact, the social worker that referred him actually called me and said, "Will you speak to my boss? She's baffled at what an amazing change this young man has made." And one of the things that I'm trying to get into place, and this is something that's for our skeptical audience members, I am doing it. This will be totally free, and I'm doing it as a way to really try to help kids in the sense of setting them up with these type services in the future, where this can become sort of a curriculum where they don't have to buy into what they believe. All these grownups are telling them what appears to be fact, and it's not fact. And they get to be what they want to be when they allow themselves to be that. And if they can start to believe that, everything will happen. And Bob's a perfect example of that.
And of course, the reason you do this gratis is because you had a very similar experience yourself. So these kids resonate with you.
Exactly. I was adopted as a child by what I call my dad. He was such a major influence in my life. And those that you have read my book, The Bench, you know the influence that my sons have had in my life. And I adopted both of them from foster care several years ago. So I have sort of a soft spot in my heart for kids that are put into this situation. And they're often forgotten group of kids.
You've actually educated me as to how forgotten they are and,
yes.
and just how far off the edge they get sent by our society. So, I mean, it's wonderful what you're doing.
So getting them their awareness, and I'm doing it in a way that I feel is empowering them. It's not trying to make the system give them more help. That their help has hurt these kids a lot. I'm trying to empower the kids to understand they have an unlimited power within them, and that they're not a victim of this system if they choose not to be a victim of the system.
And it's worked really well with Bob, that's for sure.
Well, Bob is an entire. I mean, he's. I learned from Bob now. I think he's more of my guru than I am his.
Wow.
So Bob made great strides. His grades went from D's and F's. He's now pulling an amazing. His teacher went back. Has bought into this concept. And they went back the last semester and let him retake and redo a lot of tests. They redid his grades, actually.
Really? Wow.
Yes. Just because of his awakening.
Kudos to that teacher. That's a pretty rare teacher.
Very rare teacher. So Bob is going to he's averaging about a 3.6 right now.
Wow.
He's impressed with that. He's out of his self-contained classroom and in all regular classes. Really, really applying himself. He's an entirely different young man than I met. And he has bought into this in a level that very few people I've ever met have been able to buy into this, the concept of the law of attraction. So the amazing piece of the story as it continues to unfold is he's been in foster care, as I mentioned before, since he was 8 years old. He turned 13 about a week ago. And he finally called the other day and he said, "I have an amazing thing taking place and I'm not sure how I feel about it." So we talked a little while and he said, "There's a couple that want to adopt me."
Really?
Which is amazing.
Yeah, because you've told me so many stories and I've gotten a real sense of how rare adoptions like these are for kids who are older kids.
Oh, it's so rare, and usually when they get to, you know, the anything over 10, it becomes, and then by the time they're 15, it's almost impossible. For him to get this call, especially with his past behavior, is really a testament to what he's done and sort of how the system works. So this is a couple that I asked him what his reservations were about this, and he says, "Well, things are going so well now, and I'm comfortable where I'm at," he said, "but I also know that comfort's not necessarily a good thing for me either, that comfort could be a bad thing." And so we processed a lot, and he's still making a decision. He's old enough where he has input on whether he's going to be adopted or not. He can't just be forced adopted.
Okay.
He gets to make that input. So he's using the law of attraction and the principle he's learned to make this decision. Minimally, the idea that a couple being willing to adopt him has certainly lifted his self-esteem.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is amazing. It's brought him to a place of being viewed as an unadoptable throwaway kid to a kid that somebody wants. And that's such a big leap for him. And he's every day is growing and growing in this concept of some of the epiphanies he's been sharing lately have been, you know, understanding that he was in foster care from a young age of 8, and the entire time, all the way till he was 12, no one ever inquired about adopting him. No one.
Wow.
He said that now that he's changed his attitude, he said, now they don't necessarily know I've changed my attitude. He said, all of a sudden people are asked wanting to adopt me. He said, that can't be a mistake. And I said, of course it can't. He's seeing where what he's putting out in the universe is coming back to him.
That's really fabulous. I mean, not only is it that it's happening, but that he did it intentionally and he's seeing and reaping the results. That's just really fabulous.
Well, and that's the piece the mindset of children when they're exposed to the law of attraction, they don't have all the years of pollution that adults have of the mind.
True, yeah.
And the idea that he blindly can accept these concepts just make it where he's just manifesting things at a late, bringing about things at a rate that is just incredibly impressive.
Mm.
And you know, he's an entirely different child. The household that he's in, the other kids are different kids because of him. The foster care home that he's in were sort of viewed as she's a very caring lady that owns the house, but she has two other boys in there that are in foster care. Well, they're a little younger than Bob, and Bob has influenced them in an incredible way.
It's amazing how when we individually take on the task of not just believing in, but acting upon and deliberately intending upon what we know about the law of attraction, how many people it affects positively. It's really amazing.
Well, it's like the ripple effect in a pond. You see this one event with him. Well, it's now affecting these other people. Even his foster mom said, you know, she said, I've had to really change the way I'm thinking. And Bob has changed my way of thinking. And
wow.
And they talk about this all the time. And, of course, he's also, let's be reasonable, he's a 12-year-old, now 13-year-old boy. So doesn't mean he doesn't.
Oh, sure. There are going to be teenage-type issues there, preteen issues.
Exactly. So he still has his stuff that he has going on. But it's always his mindset toward his life. He always viewed himself, in his words, not mine, as a victim of the system. And he said, I was never a victim of the system. I was a victim of my own thoughts.
Wow. Boy, has he taken leaps and bounds.
He has. And he said, now, I still hold accountable for people that helped instill those thoughts.
Of course.
He said, I'm angry at that. He said, I was a kid, and they told me these things. But, you know, the idea that he, you know, I realized, these are his words, I realized when you told me, Joel, that my mom died, I obviously felt bad. Well, that doesn't get fixed by Prozac. That gets fixed by me talking about it. That gets by me remembering her and going through the grief. Him and I went through the grief process, and I shared with him the loss of my son, which was helpful to him.
Oh, yeah.
And so for him to actually address it, and he said, I'm no longer depressed. I don't feel depressed. I'm no longer on the other
fantastic
update. Yeah, the great update that to me is even equally as impressive as the potential to be adoptive was he is no longer on any medication whatsoever.
Yeah!
Which is amazing.
All right.
And that is, to me, the piece that just sends chills down my spine.
Absolutely.
He was on 5 different medications when all this started, and he's down to 0. And he feels better. He's performing well in school. All accounts, his life has changed incredibly. And, you know, I'm pretty confident he's going to agree to be adopted. It's an amazing couple that's going to adopt him. But again, it gets to be his decision, and he's using, you know, his very logical thought processes. And he really has bought into it. And it reminds me, it's so motivating for me to remind myself that look where he was at,
yeah,
and look what his unbridled ridiculously clear vision of the law of attraction, how it just within 6 months has totally changed who this person was.
You just picked me up, Joel. Just hearing that story picks me up. And you can tell that, like, that's fantastic. Oh my goodness.
Yeah,
completely off of 5 medications in 6 months. I mean, there are doctors who will tell you that's not possible.
Well, and his schoolwork, his ability to sit in class and pay attention, and he said it is his description. I use an analogy often, and this analogy sticks with him. You know, you could be sitting there, and if I walked up to you and said, "Walt, you know, my God, what happened to your forehead? You got this ungodly scar there."
Mm.
And well, you're going, "What's this idiot talking about? I don't have a scar here." And well, if I start talking about that scar enough, and other people start walking up to you and go, "Hey, Walt, what happened to your forehead? You got a scar."
You start believing it.
You start looking for that scar. Where is that scar? And that's sort of the thing that he fed back to me, that he said, "I've been told all this stuff for so long. I get taken into care. I'm 8 years old. Imagine waking up one morning and some man you've never met in your life is telling you to get out of bed and get dressed."
Yeah.
"That your mom had been arrested and you got to go with him." He said, "I didn't know if he was telling me the truth. He showed me some kind of badge, but I was scared to death.
How would he even know if the badge was legitimate?"
Exactly. He doesn't know. He said, "I didn't get any of my stuff. I didn't get to eat breakfast." And they took me and I sat in this office, scared to death, for 2 hours before anybody talked to me. You know, I want to know where my mom was. And they said, "Well, she's in jail. She's only going to be there for a little while. You're only going to be in foster care for a little while till she gets out, and then she'll get her life together." Well, she has a heart attack from whatever her situation was, and she died. So,
wow.
What a horrible way. And all these people telling him all these things really led him to a point of, I guess they're telling me the truth. It's almost as if, in his world, if I told you your entire life that, you know, Walt, you've been a victim of one of the great studies of human science, is when you were 2 years old, you were told that the color red, what you think is the color red, is really blue, and and blue is red, but everybody else is in on this but you. You'd be like, "Well, are you crazy? Of course it's not red. Of course I know what red is. I know what blue is." Well, the only reason you knew that, you were told that became a fact to you. And in some ways, that's what happened to Bob, is he was told all these things, and even though they didn't feel right, that's what he had to believe, because he was told that by the grown-ups.
And incidentally, this is exactly what brainwashing is all about.
Exactly.
The science of brainwashing is about convincing somebody through repetition over a period of time that something that is not true is actually true. The difference being, of course, that the brainwasher of classic literature, if you will, is deliberately inflicting the harm, whereas a lot of this that goes on in society is not deliberate. It's just sort of, you know, stumbling around, bumbling around, people who have all these certifications about how wonderful they are, and they don't really know what they're actually doing to people. But the result is the same. The result is that they're harmed, that they are being told stuff that isn't true, they're being told to believe stuff that isn't true, and they're getting to reap the results of the bad stuff that comes from believing in stuff that isn't true.
And that's the exact scenario for him. And he was told multiple times, "Okay, you're oppositional and you're defiant. You have ADHD.
I have to say, I'm amazed that he even understands the whole concept of oppositional. And I say that because I've read about it, and on the surface I understand what it means, but as I think about it, I say, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, it doesn't. And he, you know, the idea that he's on all these, you know, a prepubertal mind is not intended, in my opinion, to be on any of these drugs that he was on. I don't think many adults are. I don't think adults in general are intended to be on those drugs long term. And I always say my disclaimer: I'm not a doctor. I'm not telling anybody to get off drugs. But it is something that I don't believe children have. Their minds are developed enough to know these things, and those altering brain chemicals can be a dangerous game when you're dealing with younger children.
Yeah.
And so for him to have come out where he's come out, this is an incredibly bright kid. He's very in tune, but his willingness to see this, and I asked him why the last time we talked, I said, you know, you amaze me with your understanding of this. I said, how do you feel you were able to just buy into this so clearly when you've been lied to so much? How did you know this just wasn't another lie? And he said, when you said it, it's the first time something felt real. He said, it was real. I in my gut knew, wow, this is what I've been looking for. This is the answer. He said, I've never believed in God per se, for obvious reasons. He said, but I truly feel there's something there because I identified what you said and I instinctively knew this guy's telling me the truth. This is real.
That is inspiring and amazing and also not surprising all at the same time, because I'm sure you had the same experience. I know I had the same experience. In fact, everybody I know who has in one way or another adopted the ideals of or the belief or the acceptance of the principles of the law of attraction has the same feeling. We all have it. We all get that same experience. So, I mean, kudos to him for having it, but boy, does it resonate with me.
Well, as I gain strength from hearing that, it just reminds me, it reinforces. I've experienced it in my own life as well, just like you were saying. However, I have moments where I find myself in that not the right place, so to speak.
Oh, yeah.
And I think of somebody like Bob, and I'm going, okay, what am I doing? I mean, this is, I need to reset. I need to live in it. I need to stop. And those thoughts are going to come up. I know our audience probably has tried this, and they feel that, okay, I know it's right, but I'm not doing it right. It is an ongoing evolution.
Are you kidding? I had it this morning. That's the way I woke up this morning.
Right.
Realizing that I had to turn my attitude around because I could tell it was in the wrong place and it didn't feel good. And I was glad that we had the show coming up because, as you and I have talked about many times, doing this show is therapeutic for us. It not only helps our audience, it helps us too, and it helps us pick ourselves up and feel better. But I also recognized I needed to get into the frame of mind before we even started doing the show.
Right.
And I didn't quite succeed. I did make some progress, and that's what I have to focus on. I made progress, but I didn't quite succeed. So, you know, there's more proof of what you're saying. The fact is, you and I are pretty well reversed in this thing, and we still can struggle with it.
Well, and that's the childlike mind, the mind that's open to the concept of this without all the years of seemingly reverse evidence. You know, the law of attraction works so clearly on both sides, the negative side or the positive side. It just works what you put out there. If you want it, you feel it, you're living it.
And annoyingly so, because
even if
when you're doing the stuff negatively, it comes back to you anyway. So you get the feedback either way, but it's particularly annoying when the feedback is actually against what you had hoped was going to happen, and you realize you're the one who did it.
Well, another client, this actually reminded me of something, and another client I've been working with is a 23-year-old male, and he's an outstanding young man, but he got in a situation where he was heavily reliant upon pot and a couple of other drugs, and he really got stuck. He was out of college. He was living with his mom and dad. He didn't finish college. He was a couple years into it, and he just had a sort of a real basic job. This is a very bright young man, and it took us a couple months for him to start buying into the concept of the law of attraction and applying it in his life. And he would often have these very negative, dark thoughts, even as we were working forward. And so finally one day he said, well, everything, no matter what effort I take to move forward, I can't. So he was, one of the things that I was trying to convince him to do is apply, get the mindset right, and then apply the action steps needed. You know, what are we looking for here? And he describes a chain of events, which I find fascinating that he was able to see it. He was looking for it. He wants to get in eventually to some kind of organic farming life. So he likes that kind of concept, sustainable food, hemp production, not marijuana production, hemp production as a, you know, that's the stuff he's really interested in. Well, there's not a lot of that in our area that first of all, that's lucrative enough, but it not a lot going on to really get going. But I said, you're going to have a job that's fulfilling. What are we going to do? He loves to help people. He loves to help animals. So there's the job he was in, he'd been there a while, but it wasn't very fulfilling. So he started looking for a job. And he described the next scenario as the law of attraction. He had never sat down at his computer to even start looking at a job. He said, okay, I'm going to do this. He pulls up one of the job boards, and he's looking, and he gets a text from a friend he has not spoken to in 3 years.
Ooh.
Not from a bad reason, just, hey, I'm thinking about you.
Yeah, but that, I mean, there's LOA kicking in right there.
Right there. So he said, that's odd that at this exact moment. And he started thinking, because we talked about all of how this all works. Well, make a long story short, the guy said, what are you doing right now? And he said, well, I'm still at the same job. I didn't finish college. Well, this guy that was texting him had gotten on with a company locally. He said, well, that's odd because I was wondering, would you like to come to work with us? And he's like, this is a joke, right? He said, no, I'm serious. He said, we have a dog. They deal with a lot of rescue dogs and finding homes for dogs. It's a no-kill shelter type place. Also, it's on one side, and the other side is a commercial, your typical vet. And it's a really nice setup. Well, the guy loves animals, and he's like, oh, my gosh, this would be great. So that... He said he identified the moment I brought the job board up, the phone beeped, or the message beeped.
Mm-hmm.
He could see the connection. Well, it turns out that this job that he was looking for, they trained him, and he went there, and he says, well, Joel, you know, I mean, it's great, but I'm going to be just starting out, you know, looking, you know, basically picking up poop all day from dogs. He said, I'm not really thinking that's more of a lateral type movement. I said, you don't have to take the job. This is a signal that things are working.
Right.
So he said, I said, you don't have to let him know right away. I said, just put it out there. And so he told him, he said, I'll get back with you. They offered him the job. Well, that was giving him confidence that he could work. So that was a good step. He could take that job if he wanted, or he could just decline it and say, let me find something else. Now I know I can do this.
Sure.
So,
and by the way, that's a key concept I don't want us to skip over.
Right.
The concept is, just because you put something out there doesn't mean you're locked in on it.
Exactly.
You can change your mind at any time.
Right. Well, and here's the process of how this works. So I said, well, what are you interested in doing? And he likes, beyond stuff we've talked about, and he says, well, I really, you know, I enjoy people. He's a very solid young man, and that makes some great decisions now, and very personable. And through a chain of discussions with his parents and with me, he's like, well, you know, I was at home the other day, and the guy, I had ordered this video game, and it came in, and he said, we have the nicest UPS driver in the world. And he said, you know, that's not a bad job. And I said, well, you're personable, you get to go see people, you're driving around all day, if that's okay with you, but you get to know your clients, and that's a pretty good thing. So he said, well, I got the other job. I bet I could get a job with UPS. Long story short, he began the process of getting on UPS, and last week they offered him a job.
Wow.
Now, what he equates it to is you're going to say, well, Joel, that's just an irrational chain of events you're trying to pull together. No, it's a very, you see how that primer job started, as I call it. It brought him confidence. He had an interview process. It gave him confidence for the next job. While the dog shelter job was not his job, the UPS job is clearly going to meet his criteria for what he wants. And it's going to be a great job for him.
And that's, I'm going to shock you because I'm not going to say that that's irrational.
I know that he clearly identified it. He said, when I pulled the job board up, my phone beeped. I cannot ignore that. I haven't heard from this guy in 3 years. He offered me a job that gave me a chance to interview. I thought that was going to be, and he was a little disappointed after he realized, wow, this is not really what I wanted. I said, no, this gave you that process. You don't have to take it. And he saw how that put him in a position to get this other job with UPS, which is a perfect fit for him.
One of the things that has really amazed me in my own life in the last couple of years and has brought home to me what you're talking about is a number of stories, a number of incidents that have happened to me that if I were to try to plan them out, it would be impossible.
Right.
And that's where the irrationality part comes in that you were talking about. Because, I mean, I think I told you the story one time about how we got our cars when we had no money and no cars. And the bottom line of the story was that there was no way for me to have pre-planned it. If I had tried to map that out, I would have looked at the map and I said, well, that's crazy. It can't happen that way. But it did. And that's the point. The point is that when you get into the right vibrational mode, as they call it, when you get into the right good feeling mode, the stuff starts to happen. You'll never be able to tell exactly how it's going to happen in advance. You have to kind of wait to play it out and just see. But it always happens. And if you just keep, like you say, if you just keep putting out there, well, that isn't quite right for me. I pick something a little bit different. Keep making choices. Keep being selective, you eventually get to where you want to go to, but by a route that you would never have thought of.
Oh, it brings such it now that I see all this, and it brings back. Now, this is something people can look up for themselves. But in 1919, I mentioned this on the show before, but I want to just see how we're bringing this point home. In 1919, this gentleman, his name's Conrad, he went to Texas to buy a. His goal was to buy a bank. And in 1919, banks were really big. And they didn't know what was about to happen in 10 years, obviously. But he went there.
And let's be specific. When you say big, you don't mean that they were too big to fail big. You mean that they were very popular.
They were very popular, and they thought they were too big to fail. They thought that was the – owning a bank was almost like printing your own money back in the day.
These were actually micro-sized banks.
Exactly. And literally, if you want to get technical, some of them did print their own money. That's a whole different story.
Oh, yes. Yeah. There's a whole thing there. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was it. But this gentleman went to Texas, and I believe it was Cisco, Texas is where it was at. And he was very excited to go buy this bank. And so he stopped at this hotel, and he was getting ready, and he got to know the staff really well. Well, through a chain of events, they couldn't come to a deal on the bank. He was very disappointed. The point of his trip failed. He was very upset. Well, as he was talking to the friends he had made at the hotel, he really became very enthralled with
this is going.
Yeah. And it turns out the hotel was for sale. And he was really excited about that. Well, he ended up buying the hotel. In 1919... that was the first Hilton Hotel.
Yeah.
Conrad is Conrad Hilton.
That's right.
And he often tells the story that he didn't go down there to buy a hotel. He had no clue about a hotel. The hotel was the last thing on his mind. He wanted to buy a bank. Well, the hotel flourished. The bank went out of business.
And it went out of business within just a few years.
Exactly. And this is such an amazing thing where we all can realize sometimes the law of attraction will put us where we need to be. And when failures or what we view as failures or huge disappointments happen, when all that takes place, it doesn't mean that the law of attraction isn't working. It means we have to realize the law of attraction will put us in the way of things to happen. And it's very important to realize that.
There's also a corollary that goes along with this that I want to touch upon, which is you may not notice it at first when you're first starting to experience this process of weird things happening and they don't quite work out and other things come out of it and so forth. At first, all you're doing is paying attention to that pattern. But after a while, something else starts to manifest in your awareness. you begin to become aware that the things that don't pan out didn't feel right after all, which is a very strange thing because you went after them in the first place because you thought they would feel right. But when you're in the midst of dealing with them, just before they fall apart, you get that feeling that something's not working here, something's not right. And that actually happens with a extremely high level of consistency, so that when you become aware of it, you can actually notice it every time. And so when things aren't quite working out, you already know, oh, this isn't working out. I know that means something else is coming afterward. It's bizarre. I mean, have you experienced that, Joel?
Oh, all the time. And I have I love when our intuitive side works with the law of attraction to point those things out, because it does help. A young lady that I know in Wisconsin, she has really a very great work history and a lot of corporate work and stuff, but she's also very much into sort of a sustainable, organic way of thinking. I use that term, so that she's very much into that food system stuff. And
right.
So she calls me. She had a dilemma. She was offered a job. She was unemployed for about 2 months. She was offered a really good job with a huge conglomerate that actually owns a company that is high in chemical research and does a lot of GMO products, and really, really, it goes against what her personal beliefs are.
Yeah, it flew in the face of what her expectation was, that she was going to help create something that was away from all that, that was going to defeat all that.
Right. She called and she said, I haven't been employed for 2 months, and I've just been offered a $110,000 a year job. What do I do? And I said, I'm not going to be the one to make that decision, promise you that. I can tell you that, what does your gut say? And she goes, it says don't take the job. And I just can't work for this company. I fought against this company. I don't like what this company does. And now I'm about to go to work for this company, and part of my compensation package is stock options, and I'll be an owner of this company on some level. And I said, you know what the right answer is, but you've got to come to it yourself. And so she politely declined, and they were shocked, and she told them why. And she got home. She said, my husband is furious with me. We really need the money. I need to get to work. And I said, it's going to work out. You can't. You just keep looking forward. How it comes together is the guy that interviewed her actually left that company and went to work for another company that not near as big, but also a very well-known organic type food, Whole Foods. I use their name. That's no problem.
Sure.
He called her when he got there, and he said, I was so impressed that you morally didn't take, he said, that actually gave me the courage to leave and take this job. And he said, I would like to offer you a job with us. Which, randomly, she didn't even apply for a job. and she's very happy. She loved what the company stands for. She loved the fact that they spend so much time on knowing where food comes from and informing their customers. She's all in with this company. She's loving every minute of it. And she's doing great. And you see where one thing led to another, and even though it did, and she stood up to her for her morals and what she believed in, and ended up getting rewarded with a job that wasn't ever even posted. This is a job that never even got posted. It was just something that a guy that left one company was really impressed. That's amazing to me. And it's true to form with the law of attraction.
It absolutely is. And by the way, as sort of a side note, you kind of hesitated before you mentioned Whole Foods, but you really didn't have to, because PRN, where of course our show appears, is owned by Gary Null, who has a Whole Foods store in Manhattan. So it's extremely appropriate.
It is. Well, anytime I'm going to mention a company, I'm filtering in my mind, am I saying anything negatively about them at all? And Whole Foods does an excellent job.
Oh, they're terrific.
They do a wonderful job, and they have really brought a lot of attention to where our food comes from. The source of your food is so much more important than you possibly can imagine.
And even more importantly, then I know that the education side certainly is important, the more important thing is they actually bring the food.
Oh, yeah.
That to me is the biggest part, because that was a problem for the longest time. How do you deliver this stuff?
Yes.
There was no actual good vehicle for it. Well, they created one.
They've done just amazing things, and they have prompted made other grocery stores take notice.
It's really affected the industry.
Yeah, they really have. Other big corporations have said, wow, they are kicking our butts in this area.
And you can see it. You go to any other major supermarket chain, and all the same buzzwords are now appearing in that chain.
Absolutely.
And in all the chains, really. There aren't too many that are not adopting at least the buzzwords. They may not adopt the practices, but they're adopting the buzzwords. So
exactly.
It's had a huge influence.
So as you were saying, when we feel these things inside of us while they're taking place, and if you listen to your gut instincts, and you know how the law of attraction works. The law of attraction will bring to you what you're living, what you're wanting, what you're believing in. And it doesn't filter how it's going to take place. It's going to put all these things in place. There can't be a void there. There can't.
Right.
You have to be believing and living what you are wanting. You can't say, I want to here's a great example of the law of attraction. You cannot say, 1 year from today, I will compete in the Boston Marathon. And that's great. That's something you'll be able to do if you do. But your actions have to match that. You can't go then order a dozen donuts and do nothing and sit home and watch TV all day.
Well, you could do that, but you probably wouldn't survive the marathon.
Well yes, and be competitive. Not just do the marathon. Anybody can walk and do the marathon. I want to do the marathon and do it in above average time for my age.
Well, you eat enough donuts, you won't even finish the donuts.
You won't even finish it, yeah. So your actions, that's a very doable thing. I've seen some people come off of chemo and go do the marathon and all great stuff because they had the right mindset and did the right training. But again, the actions have to match. By getting out there and listening and allowing other ideas to develop. Before we went on the air today, you and I were talking about how you started just some stuff you have going on and how one thing led to another, which led to another,
oh, yeah.
which gets you thinking. That's how we start coming up with things.
That's right, yeah. The one step leading to the other. And every new step, it was always a question of what's next? What's my next move?
Right.
I may not have the final answer. In fact, now I realize I never have the final answer. But at least I can, if I can really stick with it and think with it, I can come up with an answer. It could even be the wrong one. In fact, probably 80% of the time it is the wrong one. But the important thing, like you're saying, is you're taking steps. I'm taking steps. I'm actually moving. And as Mike Dooley likes to point out, it almost doesn't matter what direction you move in as long as you're moving. Because even if you're moving in 180 degrees diametrically the opposite direction of what you should be going in, the universe will find a way to tell you, take a left turn.
Absolutely. That is the whole concept of the underreported, as I often say, law of attraction and the underreported law of action, how they combine together. Mm-hmm. Action is necessary in the sense that it churns the waters, it gets things going, and the law of attraction will adjust the sails. It'll make you turn left, it'll throw something, but it has a lot harder time implementing when you take no action.
The amazing thing, I hate to interrupt you, but I want to insert this before you tell your story, which I'm sure is going to be great, but when you run into the barriers, because that's the way it often feels like, right? You're trying to take steps, you're not sure where you're going, and it seems like everywhere you turn, you're running into barriers. The thing to understand about that is you have a choice about a barrier. You can try to go over it, you can go under it, you can try to go through it, or you can turn around and go in another direction. And there's no clear answer that we can give in advance as to which of those options is the best one to take. What we can tell you is one of them is. The only option that is not the right option to take is to stand there and do nothing.
Exactly. I was giving a talk, and after my talk, sometimes I'll take questions. And this gentleman, he said, "I love what you're saying, Joel." He said, "But I'm really at a fork in the road of my life. What should I do?" And I go, "Take it." And he looked and said,
well, "Yogi Berra."
Yeah, and I said, "Just take it." And he said, "Well, I don't know which is the right one." I said, "It doesn't matter." I said, "The point is, take one, and if it's not right, it'll correct. If it is right, it'll happen. But what your lack of action here is where you're stuck. And that's such an amazing point that you implement in your life. I implement in my life. I often say, just get out and do something. Go if you don't know what you want to do, go help somebody else who knows what they want to do. Go do that. The one of the weirdest.
Or if you have nothing else you can think of to do, go take a walk in the park.
Yeah, yeah.
Pet your dog for a while. I mean, do something.
There was one of the weirder connections of the law of attraction. This happened several years ago, and I was really in my infancy of understanding this. But I was advising this young man who I said, you know, you just got to do something, anything. So I don't know what to do. I have all these problems going on. I got all these medical issues. I got this. I said, you're stuck. You're stuck in inaction right now. And I said, do something. He goes, I don't know what that means. And I go, I don't either, but just do something. And you got to get up and get going. And I said, and so he said, the next day he said, I'm going to go walk to the mall. And Joel said, do something. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm walking to the mall.
And incidentally, the reason we get stuck on do something is because we automatically fill in the blank and say, what we're really meaning is do something that will actually produce the result we're looking for.
Right.
Which is not correct.
Right.
It's not about you knowing in advance what it's going to produce. It's about simply taking action because the action itself guides you.
That's the action that we need to get our our customers and our whether you're in business or like me with clients or even our listeners. If you understand when we say take action, it's just taking action. Don't you're saying, but I don't know what that means. It means get moving. Like this young man decides he didn't have a car, so he was going to walk to the mall. Okay, he's walking the mall. He walks by this house. This elderly gentleman was painting his house, his own house. He tried to stretch on a ladder. He said, I had nothing to do. Joel said, help somebody else. I'm going to go help this man paint his house. So,
which is an extraordinary decision to make for somebody who didn't know what he was going to do.
Yeah, yeah. So he said, well, this is, and he thought this was the universe. So he goes up there and starts painting the guy. He said, well, I'll just finish up the porch for him. Well, the guy was a very nice elderly African-American man who just was the kindest human on the planet. And they started talking. The guy fed him lunch. They became friends. And the gentleman said, I don't have any money to pay you, or I'd have paid somebody to do it. Just don't worry about it. Well, the guy calls the local TV station and tells about this amazing young man who was walking to the and did this. So that got broadcast all over the area. This was in Central Florida, and got broadcast about what this young man did. Within 7 hours, this is again going back before cell phones were really, really, really prominent, mm-hmm. and Facebook and all that wasn't quite where it is now. The television station got something like 19 calls for people offering this young man a job.
Wow.
He ended
19 calls.
Isn't that amazing?
Bone shivering.
Yeah, and so all of that happened. He ended up getting a job. This is, again, many, many years ago. I don't think he stayed with that job, but he got experience in that field. He's now doing extremely well. I think he's 32 or 33. He makes over $100,000 a year, has a great life. He's married with two kids.
Good for him.
And all of that started by him doing something. He didn't even know what it was. He walked to the mall was his plan. He said, by the way, I never made it to the mall. I go, I know.
Yeah, I could have predicted he wasn't going to get to the mall that way. There was just no way it was going to happen. It's right. Just a question of what was going to interrupt it.
Well, yeah, and he said, you know, all this walking by this gentleman, and you know, unfortunately that gentleman passed away a couple of years after that encounter. But he is so close with the gentleman's family now, he actually helps them out.
Wow.
They get together on holidays, and they had some financial issues he helped them out with. My point is, you see the full circle. Mm-hmm. You see the law of attraction works. It doesn't fail. We have to get off of our butts and say, I need to take action,
who among us could have predicted that chain of events?
Nobody. That's what
I mean. That's insane.
Well, it just none of it makes sense. None of it. There's another man in a more recent popular story. Here's a guy that he. I understand that this gentleman. I know somebody who knows of the situation. He was arrested, and his mugshot. He's a very attractive gentleman, and his mugshot went viral. And he looks like a model or something. He's and a lot of women were like, "Oh my God, that's the hottest guy in the world." Well, he was arrested. That was his mugshot.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up doing his time, and he ended up getting out of jail, getting a modeling contract, and turning his life around.
He got a modeling contract off a mugshot.
Off of a mugshot. And for people that I understand, this is a gentleman who, while right before he went to jail, had a big turn in his life, and he's actually turned himself in and really wanted to get his life straightened out using law of attraction again on his behalf. Look what that brought him.
Amazing.
And that's the piece, Walt, that when you see how the universe uses it, how the law of attraction, it never fails. It's just our part of it is not to keep bringing about what we don't want, but to take action to bring what we do want. And that's living. You have to live in the idea that I'm bringing about what I want by the actions I'm demonstrating.
And I just got a little niggle in my mind about that, about the two, actually, because I imagine that there could be people listening in on the program who also have gone to prison for one thing or another. And their immediate thought is, well, my mugshot isn't attractive. I would never get a job as a model. And by stating it that way, they don't realize they're actually undermining themselves. Because the point isn't that he got the job because he was good looking. The point is that the law of attraction found a way to deliver to him what he needed to have, despite the fact that he didn't really know how to go about doing it. The moment that you start thinking about, I'm not good enough for that, is the moment you start attracting the bad stuff into your life again. So instead of thinking about it in terms of, well, my mugshot isn't pretty enough for me to get a job, think of it in terms of, I am taking new actions and something I didn't expect is going to happen. I just don't know what it is.
Right. And that becomes the million-dollar answer, is when you're able to accept, I'm going to take positive steps. I'm going to take action. And sometimes I'm going to walk blindly and trust.
Which we often do. We actually do it most of our lives think about it.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, when we walk, the other night, I think it was last night or the night before, I woke up very thirsty. I don't know why. And I said, well, I need to go downstairs and get something to drink. Well, I don't bother to turn on the lights because it hurts my eyes going, you know, in the middle of the night. Well, I walked down my stairs. I knew they were there, but I didn't see them. I walked down those stairs out of faith. I knew my stairs were there.
Knew you hadn't put anything on the stair to trip over, hopefully.
I hadn't put anything on the stairs to trip over. I'm pretty confident that those stairs were there. Because when you understand that next step, even though it may seem blind, when you can start living like, I know the stair is there. I know there's a step there. I don't know what it is necessarily, but I know I got this. It's going to work out. When you start feeling that and start living it, that's when all this stuff happens. That's how Bob turned his short life around such an incredible way. I can't wait to see what this kid does.
I can hardly wait either.
If he gets adopted, we're going to be able to talk to him. Which will be,
that makes it even better.
I'm not telling him this yet because I want him to make the decision on adoption just based on what he needs.
Absolutely.
But his parents would be on board with this. I'm going to have him speak with me on a couple of events.
Wow.
It will be an amazing event for him to be able to share the story. I could see him doing something with this on a really large scale.
More chills.
Yeah. So great things are taking place, and we need our audience to understand is the get up and go. If do your version of walk to the mall, whatever that is for you. It get something going and let the law of attraction bring about what you truly want. This is a guaranteed way of doing it, And it's amazing. And when you have your story, how about letting us know about it? How about giving us a call? Send us an email. Let's get you on the air. Tell us about it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. In fact, let's mention the email addresses again, because they're really difficult to remember. They are joel@loatoday.net and walt@loatoday.net. I'm sure that's going to be too difficult. You'll have to write that one down. So write it down right now. joel@loatoday.net and walt@loatoday.net.
Well, that's I would love to hear. We would certainly love to hear and put people. We will put you on the air. I want to hear your version of that. And we all can have those. I've had them. Walt's had them. And when you have these experiences, we can change the way the world thinks when we realize this is at play. This is what's really at play. What you are watching on TV is really not what our world is about. Our world is about what we bring about. And it's an amazing journey when you learn to tap into it.
It is an amazing journey. And we're on it here just by doing this show. And I have to tell you, Joel, of course, we've talked about this before, but wow, just the idea of someone contacting us saying they want to tell their story. Let me tell you, folks, we'd love to have you because it would be so much fun for us.
It would. And I know there's people out there that are listening that are saying, well, they don't mean me. No, we mean you.
Yeah, actually, we do mean you. Yeah.
If you have even an inkling, if you don't think, trust me, we would love to hear from you. If you just need guidance, if you think this hasn't worked for me, if you think this is ridiculous what we talk about, but yet you're listening, there's a side of you that wants to hear it, and we would love to talk to you as well.
And even if you think that your story isn't all that remarkable and it's kind of mundane by comparison, trust us, it's not. All these stories are fantastic. The people who find them to be least fantastic are the ones who are experiencing them because it's part of their experience. But when you tell it to somebody else, all of a sudden, wow, that actually sounds better than I thought it did.
Right. When you frame it like we frame it, when you tell us your story, and you're framing it as you're living it, but imagine if you're framing it in the way that others would see it. You know, when I was going through all the stuff that I went through, I had no idea that it was leading me to where I'm at. You don't know while it's happening, but after it happens, you're like, wow, that's sort of incredible. And your story is incredible because it's at work. You're already bringing about what you're thinking about and what you're living. You just learn how to use that on your behalf and be one of the stories that we showcase a year from now on our show where you say, wow, remember when this guy called in and he said this? Let's let that happen. That will happen for people.
I'm excited already. Joel, this has, as usual, been one of our fabulous shows. I've enjoyed it thoroughly. Thank you for doing it with me.
It's great to talk to you again this week, and I look forward to getting together with you next week.
And we look forward to seeing you all again next week here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.